Well, good morning out there in Radio Land. What a day the Lord has made. What a glorious day it is to be alive in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the day that the Lord has made, and this is the day that anything is possible, for we serve a God of the impossible. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, whatever situation, He is more than enough, my friend. He is more than enough. It is October 14th, 2025. It's a beautiful morning outside. I don't know if the weather could have got better yesterday. It stunning out there. Nice temperature, just a nice little calm breeze and not a cloud in the sky. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Well, we got a half the hallelujah crowd in here this morning. Miss Jeannie, how are you doing?
Good morning. I'm always good. I'm always good because Jesus ain't changed.
That's right.
There you go. Yeah.
He's still Alpha and Omega.
That's right. He's still the same.
Beginning and the end.
Yesterday, today, and forever.
Hallelujah.
I change not, he said. I love that.
Little B3 organ right there first thing in the morning. Huh? Little singing.
I think I got an app somewhere.
We need that.
Like, he really needs it.
Yeah.
You can get a piano app. I don't know about an organ app, but it's probably possible.
I would practice. I'd practice the voice if I could get somebody to play B3 organ.
Yeah.
I'd go take lessons. Somebody's got to be able to teach us, old country boy.
Hit that Holy Ghost
organ. I think you can do it without the organ, because one time you and Nehemiah were having a blast with it.
You just got to put that nyah.
Yeah.
I loved it because Nehemiah always preached about victory when he was getting wound up. There's victory. Victory. That's all. That's what he would say. Victory, victory, victory.
Yeah. Amen. There is victory in the Lord. Amen. Well, Miss Hannah, how are you doing this morning?
I got some gratitude in my attitude. Well, that one's not only mine. It's a collaboration between me and my uncle.
Right.
See,
right.
The smart aleck in me has to say it's about time, but it's like I have to watch myself because it was just a setup. It was really good, but no. No, not at all. Great.
My baby helped me. Well, it wasn't an unbeliever, so I don't want to say witness, but helped open up a door to a God moment yesterday. So he crawled up to somebody, and I was like, "Go, bub, you're led by the Spirit already." He just crawled right up to him, didn't even know him, but he just started talking and waving and just loving. I knew it was the Lord that opened up
Broke
the door.
Broke down all those defenses,
yes.
Didn't it?
Yeah. It was awesome. Yep. So, godly connections.
The babies will get you every time, won't they?
It was good.
Yes, they will. Well, Miss Crystal, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, doing well. A little nasally, but that's okay. I got a voice.
Yeah, I live with nasalness or whatever it is.
See, she's got gratitude in her attitude.
That's right.
Because she's still got a voice.
All is well.
We're going to rejoice. Yeah. We're going to rejoice.
Hey, it seemed like you preached on that a little bit.
Gotta
on Sunday.
Rejoice.
That's familiar, don't it?
Yeah, I was finding my rejoicing yesterday at the dentist's office.
Oh,
yay. Had
Shut
to
up.
Seek it out.
Shut yeah. up. Oh,
Five goodness. Dentist appointments in one morning, and then a baby appointment in the afternoon. So it's like it was a big day. And
it was appointment day, huh?
Yeah, it was appointment day. It was appointment day. And so I try to knock them all out as many as I can in one day. And
that can be hard to do sometimes.
I was finding the rejoicing somewhere. Amen. Right. Hallelujah. Well, this is the day that the Lord has made, and whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, He is more than enough, my friend. As Miss Jeannie said, He never Amen. Changes. And He is still healer. He is still deliverer. He's still the God of the breakthrough. He is still the God of provision. He is still God. Amen.
Amen.
And I am thankful for that. Well, we got a couple of great announcements. Chili Cook-Off's right around the corner. So maybe you are sitting there in your house this morning thinking, you know what? I have nothing to do on October 25th. And then you think to yourself, and I am the master of chili. I would challenge you to come prove that. All right? we're going to have to start getting some chili signed up. And so in this, we need you to see if you really are the master of all chili. Is your chili the best? Now, we have three different categories that night. We'll have mild, we'll have medium, and then we got hot. Now, for the hot, last year there was one hot that almost gave Roger Goostry a heart attack. So let's not make it like deathly hot, okay? It just needs a little kick, all
spice,
right?
Spice.
little spice, a little kick. Could you even say a little Cajun kick? Like, that would be okay too, right? Is that?
I don't know. Some of the, what is it? The Spanish kick is a lot hotter, you know.
Well,
that some of the, what is that habanero, whatever that they put habanero in there, that is like you can't look, breathe.
A jalapeno is hot to me.
Me too. So. Me too. And I'm Cajun, and it's still hot to me. I don't like jalapenos.
They put ghost peppers in my brownies one time.
Oh my gosh!
And it was just rude. It was just mean. All right. So I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking Miss Katie's brownies there. And if you never had Miss Katie Newton's brownies, they are a foreshadowing of food in heaven. That's about all I can say. They're a foreshadowing of food in heaven. And I was thinking, well, Jeremy Stone made brownies too. It was a big gathering at my house, and I was thinking, I should probably eat one of Jeremy's brownies too, because he made them. So I was going to be nice and eat his brownies first. Not saying Jeremy's brownies were not good. They probably were good, but they're not comparable to Miss Katie's. And so I was sitting there going, I'm gonna eat the first. Okay, I'm going to eat the good brownie first, and I'm going to save the best for the last, because that's what Jesus did with the wine and the water. And so I'm sitting there, I take a bite, and I'm just like, this is getting really hot. And then it gets hotter. And then everybody just starts to crack up laughing, because everybody thought it was a joke. And I get over there, and I realize they had put ghost peppers in this brownie, and my mouth kept getting hotter, and I was chugging milk out of the jug at that point. I walked over to my refrigerator and just started chugging milk. I never felt so deceived, betrayed
yeah,
and manipulated in my life. I had to heal. It was a rough patch. I had to seek counsel from brethren. Had to get healing. I had to go to a confession. I had to do everything.
Like,
it was, I had to go through deliverance. It was
where I come from. You don't eat brownies till you know what's in it.
Well, I learned.
Yeah.
My
favorite thing about the whole thing was that.
That's more our generation, G.
Kaylee Stone, I guess what would it be, the sin of omission?
Yeah, she
has. She knew about it, but she didn't say anything about it. Mm. And when she saw his reaction, she starts crying. Like, not crying out of laughter, like, actually, her conviction, she felt so bad, she starts bawling. And she's like, I'm so sorry. I
said
didn't
you
tell
should
you.
Be.
But it wasn't dramatic. Like, she literally felt so bad. But I was cracking up at her. I felt bad that I was cracking up at her, because I'm like, this girl is bawling worse than the guy who ate the pepper.
Y'all could have had revival. You missed it.
We needed revival that day.
You had tears. You had the joy of the Lord.
Yeah, yeah, the fire was in my heart.
You were thirsty. It was there. It was all there.
That's how you know somebody's heart is soft. If they're crying up for the one who's crying, she's weeping with those who weep.
So all that to say, is your chili the best? And now is the season. Now is the day. October 25th is the night. Is it the best? So we're going to challenge you.
And it doesn't have to be hot. There's hot,
mild, and medium.
Yeah.
I wonder if Ethan's chili was the one that made Roger almost have a heart attack.
No.
Because they said his
was
one of the
hottest. It was Jeremy Stone's.
It was his again.
I'm seeing a reoccurring theme here.
Because I don't even think Ethan didn't even taste his own. He just kept putting hot stuff in. So we're not allowing him to make what he gets.
Oh, well, it is a great night. And if you don't like chili, there's usually hot dogs and a few people.
Sometimes like potato soup.
Yeah, my wife will make potato soup because she knows I don't eat chili. So she has mercy on me. So, Brother Greg, you would be safe to come. And I don't care what Jason Miller says. I won't force him. I won't force you to eat the chili. All right. But
well,
it is going to be a great
he's
night.
He's on a liquid diet right now. So. That's what he said yesterday. Stop talking about food, because he's
we better stop.
I don't know if he still is, but yesterday they had him on a liquid diet.
Heather says she says I am making potato soup. I thought she was. Oh, she's making a chili. I'm sorry. Somebody's making potato soup. Heather, somebody said
he's hoping
somebody is making potato soup that night already.
Have you ever had Miss Doris Butler's? Ooh, it's good. Yeah. Good
he's
stuff.
He's prophesying.
Yeah. Well, if they're not making potato soup, I'm speaking it into existence.
Will you make potato soup?
But it is going to be a great night, great auction, great fellowship. We're going to have a hay ride. I had an idea. I had an idea for this chili cook-off. All right, it's a new one. Are you ready?
I don't know.
All right.
Does it have anything to do with peppers? I don't want to know.
No, this is not even food related. Since Jason Miller had a big part of getting rid of the jail, and I'm pretty sure it's because he didn't like to sit in it.
Yes.
Called Justin, and we have a better idea. So it's something new that's coming this year.
Water
we are going to build, I hope this is the right word, some stocks. Is that the right word? Yep. And so this is worse than the jail. It will be two pieces of wood, and you got three holes, and you know you stick your hands and your head through it. It won't cut circuit. I'll even put a little furry strip.
The whole point was that you missed the chili cook-off by being in jail all the time. So if you're in stocks, it's the same point, Jason. Oh, Darren.
Well, it's fine. I'm doing it just to put Jason Miller in it since he got rid of the jail this year.
Sorry, Jason. Should have left the jail. Now,
here's the good part is we didn't put anybody in jail during the auction last year. We closed the jail at the auction.
No, I know, but he was to the fellowship.
Well, you could have took him.
Oh, no, everybody can come talk to you.
You could have took him food. Yeah.
You got the stock.
And you could have bought him out.
Yeah, and if for an extra $5, for an extra $5, you can dump chili on his head. All right.
That's a good idea.
Well, they did the pie in the face for a while.
Every year, I get it.
Yeah. Jeannie got redeemed.
Every time. Every time.
Look. It's like every time there's an event, somebody just volunteers me for the chili. I mean, for the pie. Even during the now we did slime at VBS this year, and that was gross.
I mean, that was gross.
I don't know what all was in it. Like
you got people not even wanting to come to any event here at all.
No, you don't have to. It's usually me and Jason
it's
that have to go
leaders,
through it.
Just the leaders. Everybody else just sits around.
Mr. Bjork was always the pie in the face person.
Yeah. I think Justin Hatfield would be a great pie in the face person.
Oh gosh, I don't know.
I think that would be. I'm pushing for it.
That'd be another a sight one. To see.
I am speaking Justin Hatfield pie in the face existence, and I'm gonna speak a potato soup into existence.
I would not want to be the one that put the pie in Justin's face.
Oh, I'll do it. Oh, it's going to be a great night, though. It is really going to be a great night of fellowship. It's always a great night of fun, a lot of games, a lot of activities, a lot of great items in the auction. So come out and support a great cause of Bethel Christian Academy, and that'll be October the 25th, as well as revivals happening this week over with
at Kingdom Mission.
Kingdom Mission.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I just choked right when I was going to say it.
And brother, choking on Whitney's name right there.
And Brother Jeff. Arrington will be there.
Yeah, he used to be on here.
I miss hearing him on Tuesdays. Yeah. I think it was Tuesdays.
It was Tuesdays. Yeah.
17th, 18th, and the 19th, 6:30 p.m. on Friday and Saturday night, and then 10:30 on Sunday morning. Brother Jeff Arrington will be there at Kingdom Mission Church there in Hardinsburg, Kentucky.
He's out of Texas.
From
Marshall? Was it Marshall?
Texas. Yeah, I remember Marshall because I always just thought of Marshall Law, Texas. Yeah. All right.
You should wear a hat when you say that.
Cowboy hat?
Yeah.
Cowboy boots? All right. We'll do it. All right. Well,
don't forget the ladies' meeting, too.
Absolutely.
Up in November.
Can't forget that. November the 14th. Chili and soups again. So a lot of chili coming up here. Speaker is Miss Renee Alderburn from New Life Faith Church. She's also a permanent co-host on Thursday mornings, and she has a program on Sunday and Monday morning. So it's going to be great to have her speaking here. I know a lot of ladies are excited for that. And again, that is November the 14th. Amen.
Today is October 14th in memorial of Charlie Kirk, his birthday, and they are doing something on the square in Litchfield to honor it. I think it's 6:00. I'm not sure the time. The only thing they said is be careful. They are not closing the square for it. So there will be several people in the area just honoring the martyr in our time. So, and Friday night is Bethel Christian Academy's its regional tournament for the volleyball team. I believe it's going to go on Saturday too. Bethel plays Friday though, depending on whether they win. You know how tournaments are, but so that's this weekend, and it's always a lot of fun.
Yes, come out and support the girls, and be the first time we've ever hosted a volleyball regional here. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, first time for everything.
Yeah.
And we'll be hosting that this Friday night, as Miss Crystal said. So come out and support the girls as they play in their first home-hosted regional volleyball tournament. And they've done great this year. Mm-hmm. So proud of them, their improvement and their progression as volleyball players and as young ladies. And they Miss Sierra has done a phenomenal job with them. And Miss Mariah did a phenomenal job for the first couple years, really getting it started and the foundation laid. Just a great job for Mariah, and Miss Sierra is just keeps trucking along with it. And so just both of them's done a phenomenal job with the program, and really proud of them.
We were laughing. I think it was Saturday when she was at the house, and she said, you know, she played for 8 years in school, in high school, and she said, it's a lot different when you coach than when you play. And I said, oh, yeah. So they went to Grayson County, and that's where she played. And she was talking to the coach, and she said, wow, I have a different view of everything now that I'm coaching. And the coach said, oh, yeah, it's totally different than you just go play and you go home than being a coach.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. And
that could preach somewhere in there.
There's a sermon somewhere in there.
There it is. There it is.
Oh, man. Well, we are in the we're starting the book of Ruth. I was going to start it last week, but I was waiting for Hannah to be with us. I was waiting for the whole team.
And then I waited for you to be with us yesterday.
And so we are in the book of Ruth. It's a short book. I mean, it's not going to take us very long, and 4 chapters. And so, and then after this, what are we moving to, Hannah? There was another book we were going to move right into after Ruth. That was a shorter book as well.
Jude.
That's a long book. Jude is huge.
You didn't do it. No.
I'm sorry.
We'll cut it out later. just kidding.
All right. So
you know y'all all thought it.
Ruth.
I didn't.
All right. Forgive me. All right, let's go on to Ruth.
Is this redeemed?
I am too. I just said a word. I just sang a lyric.
I am redeemed.
Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. So here we're already finding out that in the days of the judges, of course, in the days of judges, there were often famines. Why? Because God raised up judges to judge Israel and to also bring a deliverance to Israel. That's what judges did so often, is they helped. They was a judge to Israel. They helped lead Israel into deliverance. Israel was notorious for turning their back. They would repent for a season or generation,
right,
and then they would fall back. Mm-hmm. And one of the greatest things of it was, honestly, so often it was their involvement with other nations. It was the involvement with other gods, of other pagan gods. The Lord warned them very early on not to associate with the gods of the pagans, but yet you see Israel keep surrendering to Asherah poles or to Baal. They continue to participate in the worship of pagan gods, and that was so often what led them into a lot of great distress.
I think almost every time, wasn't it?
Yeah, and you see famine quite often during the time of the judges, because that was a natural consequence of Israel's rebellion. And it wasn't, we like to just say it was a spiritual famine, but it wasn't. It was a lot of times a physical famine that was manifesting during these times of the judges. You can go back to Gideon. I mean, Gideon, whenever the Midianites were coming in and stealing their harvest every single time, the Israelites were really starving. They were really hungry. I mean, you had Gideon, who was literally in a wine press threshing wheat, which basically means he was trying to hide and keep this wheat separate so he could have something to eat later on. And he was threshing wheat, surviving in the place he was called to actually be thriving, because wine was supposed to be a place of the celebration, of prosperity, of victory. And instead, he was surviving with wheat in the place of a wine press. You see this quite often with the judges, and you see this quite often with Israel. And here's what we're finding, is that in the time of judges, there was a famine in the land. A man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. Thank you.
Elimelech.
I can't say that word. If Jason can't say Sapphira, I can't say this. Say it one more time.
Elimelech. I couldn't say hospitality yesterday.
And the name of his wife, Naomi.
It gets worse.
And the names of his 2 sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Epaphrodites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But this dude, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her 2 sons. These 2 Moabite wives, the name of one Orpah and the other Ruth, they lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her 2 sons and her husband. So we have Naomi being left without a husband and her 2 sons. She was left with nobody. And this is very significant, because now you're going to see Ruth's loyalty to Naomi, which is basically her mother-in-law. I always have great respect and great admiration for Naomi in this. Like, what we're going to see Naomi do in this book. Because traditionally what would happen, and we're going to see this in the scripture, I'm just setting it up for us, is that when a husband like this would have died, the wife would have gone back to her father's house.
Right.
And we're going to see Naomi have a different outlook and a different desire in this. So, then she arose, verse 6, with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So in Moab, she's hearing this. And I love how I think we can learn an underlining thing being taught here. In rebellion and in a time of judges, there's famine. But when the food was being brought to Moab, they were recognizing it was the Lord doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We today don't think like this. We think, well, the weather just turned out right over there, or the atmosphere there, and this happens. And we like to really think naturally on a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes we have to start seeing through the Spirit, because the spiritual man discerns all things. And I think that what we're seeing here, even with Naomi, is she's recognizing in Moab, the Lord has visited his people. Like, the Lord has shown mercy. The Lord has shown grace, visited his people in Moab, and there's food there. It's not that the weather just was right, or it's not that, you know, the Moabites were just, you know, they just got it all together, or they figured out a secret, or, you know, they geometric something, or they modified a seed and they got it to grow in a warehouse. No, she understood from this principle the Lord had visited his people and given them food.
Sorry. You got heady on us there, didn't you? Huh?
Huh? I did. So, I love this because it fires me up. If we could think about things through the eyes of the Spirit and not just, as Corinthians teaches us, as mere humans.
And through the eyes of the blessing.
Yeah.
You know, just our life every day can be walked in the blessing.
Yeah.
The blessing of God and the blessing of the covenant with that he's made with his son that we belong to.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much available to us every day to walk in if we just recognize it and believe for it.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Matthew 6:33.
And also, if I could push that a little bit farther, Miss Jeannie, I think also not negating the correction that's supposed to push us towards blessing. Because so often something maybe is off in our life, or something is wrong, or we're just not seeing the blessing of the Lord. And we could say, well, the devil stole my blessing, or this just isn't working. Or maybe it is possibly the Lord allowing this to happen for correction to push us into blessing. And I know, like, I'm so thankful that when in the book of Corinthians, when they were writing to Paul about the Lord's Supper, Paul just didn't say, well, these guys they just had a bad day. You know, there was this little virus that got out, and they just he's like, no, you are sick and dying because of your abuse.
Right.
Like, there's real consequences, and he's calling them to repentance. And I think sometimes in our day in the church, because we have such a screwed vision of grace sometimes and what grace really is, we let people off the hook from the correction of the Lord,
on,
and we don't let them feel the weight of it that's supposed to push them into a place of repentance and blessing.
That's right.
That's the Lord corrects those who he loves. He disciplines those who are off track. Why? Not for harshness and condemnation, but for what? Correction and repentance.
Yeah.
That it would drive us into a place of realizing we are off step with the Lord. And if we want the famine to stop in our life, we have to restructure and we have to repent and walk in the ways of his kingdom.
And we don't care for that word these days.
Mm-mm.
But repentance has to happen. There has to be a turning from.
And it's hard to stay out of the way.
Yes.
As Christians, even, you know, it's hard as a, you know, even when you have a prodigal, or if you have a, you know, friend or family member, watching them actually destroy their lives, and to sit back and just let God have them. It's a total area of trust. You know, I'm personally walking through it right now, and you just got to leave it. And it's hard to just walk away. It really is. But that's what's happening, you know.
It is very difficult. And I think we like I was even preaching this Sunday, we're to encourage to walk alongside, bear each other's burdens. Like, all of these things are very true, and we should do that. But I think when we work, when we operate in discernment, we'll know when to walk in full encouragement,
right,
and when to maybe hold our breath and right, step back for a second. This is why we should seek the Holy Spirit in all things. This is why praying without ceasing is so important, because we need the wisdom, the guidance, and the direction of the Holy Spirit, not just the wisdom of man and what makes practical sense.
And that's what they need. Mm-hmm. That's the ones that we're talking about. That's what they need. You know, a lot of times how I'll respond to somebody's situation that they bring to you is let's pray.
Yeah.
And I'll pray that you will hear from God,
mm-hmm,
and come back and tell me what he said.
Right.
You know, I don't become their rescue. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's the worst thing we can do.
Yeah, you get in the way.
But
yeah,
we'll pray, and you'll hear from the Lord.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So I appreciate the way you said it, is that we have to leave them, you know, and let God do what needs to be done, and because we can't do it, you know.
And their relationship with him.
Right. They've got to go run to him, not to me.
That's
or
right.
To whoever, you know.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing to do, you know.
Absolutely it is. And especially when you love that person, even more whenever you're the parent of that person. Like in my own life, I mean, the oldest one that we've adopted, we pretty much just had to release into the Father's hands. Like, mm-hmm, we didn't have him very long, and we pretty much just had to say, Lord, you know,
that's right,
here it is. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult sometimes. And sometimes people are going to think, well, you're a bad parent, you're going to do this. And you have to realize, like, we have to trust the Holy Spirit,
right,
that he knows what he's doing. And one of the biggest things that we do in modern day parenting, and I don't know how we got here, but Ruth and Naomi. Actually, this is really good.
Well, it is kind of like a mother.
Well, this is Naomi, because Naomi could have definitely just kicked her out and said go. But I think that in the modern day parenting, and I'm learning this now as a parent of a prodigal adult, and I'm learning this as I've worked with a lot of parents with adult children who are struggling with addiction or strong codes or apathy or just plumb laziness, is entitlement. Like, or even enablement. Like, we're just enabling them over and over because we're not letting them feel the weight. We're trying to, mm-hmm, when we say bear one another burdens, that does not mean that we take away the weight of their sin or their consequence, because sometimes the Holy Spirit's allowing that because they need to feel what it's like to sleep with the pigs. This is
right,
why, again, it's so essential to pray to the Holy Spirit and asking for direction and guidance, because he's going to lead people exactly where the Father is leading them. But in saying all of that, like, we have to stop enabling. It's like that one broadcast I listened on James Dobson one time, the woman who was talking about her son who was a drug addict and in and out of jail, and he would live under a bridge, and then whenever he was getting ready to go to jail again, he would come home to his mom's to try to hide out there, or sometimes he would just get off a binge and realize, oh, I needed to go home for a little bit. And he was a grown man. I mean, this guy was old. And finally, one night, he came home. There was a warrant out for his arrest. He was living under the bridge, and he came home, and he said, Mom, I'm going to need to stay here with you this night. And she said, I love you, but you're going to sleep under the bridge tonight.
Yeah.
And he knew if he slept under the bridge, he'd be ended up in jail. Mm-hmm. She knew that well. But she says, tonight I've got to cut the enablement.
Right.
Because she was alleviating him from the consequence and the weight of his sin. And he was, and sometimes we don't allow the prodigal to get to the place with the pigs. And sometimes if they never get to sleeping with pigs, they never come back home.
That's right.
That's hard. I'm like, I get it. It's hard.
And it's not, and I know what you mean by saying come back home, but it's coming back to God.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's what you meant. I don't mean to
say
it that way. But and in the process, a lot of times, like what I'm going through, I'm being attacked, you know, constantly, of how I'm heartless or how I'm, you know, whatever, you know. And so you have to just, as parents or friends or whoever, spouses a lot of times, you know, you have to just say, God, I trust you with this, and walk away. Now, yesterday it happened to me, and I got attacked, and I was heartless, and I'm, you know, you call yourself a Christian, all this stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. Were they asking for money?
Actually, No, not money, but wanted. And if something. I say it, I do sound heartless.
You don't have to. You don't
yeah,
have to.
If I do say it, it sounds heartless, but it's something else. And I had to say, no, not at this time. And wow. And so, you know, you get attacked. You get right. attacked. And so I had to go, I cried it out because you have to, this is still, no matter what, you're prodigal, if it's your child, sometimes when it's your spouse, whatever, it still hurts. It still hurts. That love doesn't stop just because they're rebelling. It's worse sometimes. And so we release and we let them go. And then I ran to the word. I ran back to the word.
See, that's the deeper love.
Right.
And that's truly the love of God that's been put in our hearts by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the other love
is
fleshly,
right.
and carnal, and it won't bring a result. As a
right.
matter of fact, it'll probably keep things in a worse
yes.
place.
Yes, yeah. it will. But as a parent, you want to protect, you
sure.
want to take on, and you know, and you can't do that. You can't bring some of that in your own home. You know,
mm-hmm.
you just can't, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Isaiah 50, verse 7. There's one phrase in this that I reminded often, and actually it's in Luke 9 too, but it says, therefore, the prophet speaking, and he's saying, in the face of all trials and tribulation, in the face of everything I'm going through, he says, I have set my face like a flint.
Yep.
And that's basically saying, I'm not going to change.
I
know it's tough. I know it's hard, but I know the direction we have to go. And even Jesus, I think in Luke 9, 31, sneeze button, he basically says, set his face to go to Jerusalem. It's tough. And for our parents out there, it's tough. But I'm telling you, when Jesus said, I'm setting my face to go through. I know what's going to be ahead of me. I know what's going to be coming against me. I know what's going to be here. But Jesus said, I have to go. I have to go to Jerusalem. And it's the same phraseology that he used. I set my face like flint.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I set my face towards Jerusalem. I set my face. And it's difficult and it's hard. But for a parent out there that's listening this morning, and I don't think it's an accident, we ended up here real quick.
Yeah.
Because I think there's somebody's listening this morning. You need to be encouraged because you feel so much pushback because you know you're doing what God's called you to do. You feel these words hitting you. You feel like this weight's hitting you. You feel like these people are so mad at you. I just want to tell you, set your face like flint this morning. Be like Jesus in Luke 9 and say, my face is set towards Jerusalem.
Yeah, I'm going to be the other person. I'm going to be the one who's always been there for the prodigal, always helped, always bailed out, always had the money, always did the thing, okay? And because of a great love, and the prodigal really appreciates it, really does. Now, as knowing that these things must happen at some point, or this prodigal's never coming home, you know, give me something that says a good way for me to begin that journey when I've always been the other person.
You know what? This is the hard part about this situation. I don't think there is what we would classify a good way.
Right.
I think it's a Band-Aid that just has to be ripped off. And as this woman said to her son, and this was a wonderful broadcast. Actually, I think I have it saved somewhere just because it was so good. She basically said, I love you.
Right.
But tonight, this stops.
You're under the bridge. Yeah.
And you can, I think it has to be direct. I don't think you can argue with them. Mm-hmm. I think it's just got to be.
You believe God for
you.
The timing of that, though, right?
You got to you just got to put your rest and trust in Him.
Yeah.
But it's like, I love you, son.
Right.
But tonight, you're gonna feel the weight.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so easy for us to want to rescue and I really don't know how we ended up here. This must be the Holy Spirit for somebody because. Ruth didn't get this from Naomi because Naomi wasn't in sin. I mean, Ruth wasn't in sin, okay? So Ruth wasn't a prodigal. Like, she just lost her husband and her sons, and Naomi stepped in as a great mom. We're going to continue that tomorrow.
Well, Holy Spirit launches us into other areas.
And yeah. But I just want to encourage somebody out there. Miss Jeannie was asking, I don't think there is a good moment. Like, I think it's praying into it, definitely, and asking the Lord to be with you.
I just want them to be encouraged.
But it's
they have been that person,
absolutely,
been that parent.
Yeah, and I think you had to be careful not to beat yourself up because probably beat yourself up over if you have been enabling. Because now, if you're doing it on purpose, just because you don't care and throwing money out there, like, that's fine. But I think a lot of people do it just because of love in their heart for that person. So it's not like you are inherently evil about it. Or
you feel like you're trying your best.
You're just trying to do everything you can. And even society pushes this notion that as parents, and even looking at, like, parenting today, like, one of the big things today is helicopter parenting. Like, I mean, like, we joke about this sometimes, but, like, parents today are different than parents was 10, 15
years. I don't know what that is. What is helicopter parenting?
Basically where, you know, we're not even going to let you play in the dirt anymore.
Oh, okay.
And,
like,
you
you're
know,
always hovering over them and afraid of everything. And
yeah, I mean, really? you can honestly see a difference in the parenting from millennial to Gen Z. Like, for most of it. Like, now, a lot of Gen Zs that hang out with older people tend not to have the gravitational pull to helicopter parent. But they're, and I'm not saying there's not things wrong with that. Like, you know, don't let your kids drink out of a tulip bow or something like that. There's wisdom in that. But don't stop your kids from playing in dirt either. Like, you know, there's...
I think a big reason or a big perpetuator of it is all the anxiety and, well, all the evil that has continued to increase as sin has increased, but then the anxiety that's in the world. And I think it's seeped into families.
And also the media, too,
yes,
of
pushing
they show
agendas.
Everything. Every show is about a child abducted or
see,
a child, whatever.
It.
Trusting in media.
The world,
trusting
though.
In...
Y'all saying it.
Yeah.
And this, see, we're not even knowing what God said about
right.
things.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
We're not even coming to find out what did he say about this as a believer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So many believers don't even have a clue what God said about famine.
And that's why, you know, we talked about it several times on, you know, the program about, like, even yesterday, and no glory to me, but all I knew to do was run to the Word, because that's where you have to, and that's what you need to do, is
that
to
answers.
Run to the Word, and you find your scriptures. I'll contend with the one who contends with you, and I'll save your children. You know, he told Abraham, and so your descendants will be. You know, so will your descendants be. And I don't know if it was you. Somebody read, you know, about, it might have been something I was listening to, but about how he's going to bring your sons and your daughters back. Bring my sons and daughters back, you know. So I had to run to the Word. And in whatever situation you're in, you know, we have to run back. What, like you said, what did God say? What did God say?
And we've got to, as leaders, we got to lead people.
Yeah.
But now people trust more in the professionals, the educated.
Yes.
The ones who are educated, the doctors. And I'm not against doctors. I am thankful for doctors. But trust more in the professionals, the experts, the ones who have studied and got their PhDs and their doctorates. And the schooling of the world has become more trustworthy than
the
Bible. Because
and it makes good sense to them. Yeah. I mean, really.
But even Christians.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Christians who really, their life has not been completely, everything's on this. Everything's on what God said.
Yeah.
They're not there.
Well, I think it gives them an excuse.
Yeah.
Like, it gives them a way out of, like, well, we're just going to have so much secular humanism. We're going to figure this thing out without the need of the Word. And we're really, a lot of times, basically secular humanism is... the theology of anti-Bible. Like, it's whatever I can do to come against the Word of God, to live a life that doesn't submit to the Word of God and gives me a reason and excuse not
to.
You
know, what I find a lot of times, if I'm bringing, of course, that's all I got, so listen good, that's all I got. But when I bring the Word, a lot of times what I find is that before I can really bring it, they've got their back up against it.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's people in church.
Yeah.
That's people in church. They don't want that to be the answer.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
And I don't know if I should bring this up or not. I just know the Lord, if it gets too heavy in here, we can switch subjects. But with my prodigal, there was an ungodly soul tie. And I say that because I overprotected. I had to in some areas. And I overprotected, and about 2 months ago, just talking with Todd, praying about it, I asked the Lord, why do I get so you know, all torn up because my prodigal is an adult, mm-hmm. a very, I mean, old, not old. You know what I'm saying? I mean, she's not 20, you know. Oh, I said dream. Anyway, they are 20. Anyway, and so I still run to that, back to that place, and the Lord said that because of things that happen, I created I wouldn't say it's demonic, but it's unhealthy. It's an ungodly soul tie where I couldn't let go. You know, mm-hmm. I have to run. I have to go help, even as an adult. And walking through this process over the last, it's been since about January, I've had to go through things. I've had to walk through things. I've had to run to the Word. And we all know about prayer, but when something like this happens and it's so close to your heart, and God just showed me where it started years ago as a child, her, mm-hmm. and so there it was. And so it revealed it to me to help me let go. And so I have to recognize every time I still have emotions, I still get emotional about it, but then I run to the Word. And that's all I can encourage anyone out there that has a prodigal, that even as an adult, you know, when they're kids, it's different. You know, you have to be there. You have to help. And in the early years of them maybe becoming adult or whatever, you're still there. But when it comes to a season of, okay, you know, this is ridiculous, you know, mm-hmm. Then, yeah, it's like, why can't I let go? I don't know who I'm talking to. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to myself for sure. But I know what God did for me of letting go and breaking the unhealthy, the ungodly soul ties that we created, the unhealthy relationship of codependency and dependency. And you break that in Jesus' name. And is it still easy? No, it's not. It's still not easy all the way, but I know how to recognize it now.
Well, don't you think your relationship with your husband has brought a lot of clarity to that and wisdom to that?
Yes.
And I want to encourage anyone that's married, mm-hmm. that especially in the Lord, mm-hmm. you know, take full advantage of the fact that you are married in a union and one in the Lord, because mm-hmm. wisdom, great wisdom, comes up out of that.
From the helpmate. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when my kids were little, and I will say, like, the first kid, we were a little bit anxious, like a little bit. We probably were a little bit helicopters on the first one, but you know, we had went through so much with him at birth, and the Lord did so many things. And I remember one of the times he like tripped and fell and like had this little cut on his forehead. And we're like, do we take him to the hospital? Do we take him to the doctor? Like, what do we do here? And then it's like,
then you put mud on it.
Then by the third child, we ended up not doing it, but we were really close. The third child, I picked her up from preschool one day and was taking her home. And she said, hey, dad, my nose bleeding. And we were about 2 minutes away from home. And I looked back and boy, was her nose bleeding. I said, just pinch it till we get home, honey. Like, that's how we evolve as parents. Like, I get it. And now that we got now on our eighth, it's just like, it's almost natural.
Yeah.
It's almost like you don't have that. But I remember being a really young parent, and when they're learning to crawl.
Right.
And they get stuck under a chair, or they get stuck under a table. What's our very first? They're not in any danger.
Yeah.
They're really not. Like, they're just crawling through a chair. Like, nothing's really going to happen. Like, because the chair's even tucked in under the table. So it's not like they can even knock it over. They're just crawling under the chair. Our first instinct is to run and rescue.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Move the table.
Right.
Yeah.
And something always told me, and I know a little bit of it is just how my grandpa trained me a little bit, being a psychiatrist and trying to train. He worked on us with cognitive development and stuff, mm-hmm. so much. I was like, no, Heather, let's just let them figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, we'll be here in case the chair does start to tip and we can rescue it. Or we'll be here to give them our voice so that we can say, come this way.
They didn't scream or anything.
And they may have whimpered, like, hey, I'm down here, help me. But we had to show them they can build the ability within themselves. And to me, that is training a child in the way they should go. Giving them the tools, giving them the ability. Let them figure out. They got themselves in under the chair. Let them get themselves out of under mm-hmm. the chair. We're there so the chair doesn't hit them.
Right.
But I'm not going to reach in there and grab the chair. I mean, grab them out. And we did that quite often. Like, now, if they were walking up at the fireplace and touching the fire, that's a different story. I'm not talking about putting them in danger. But letting them to develop, letting them do that. And And there does come a point at age, like the weightiness of their getting themselves into predicament could increase and the risk could increase. And you have to, that's when it gets really difficult to back off. Mm-hmm. But I think the Lord will give you, actually, I know the Lord will give you grace. The Lord will give you wisdom. But I love what Miss Crystal bringing out there. Don't always try to rescue them. Because the one thing I had to learn for my children is I'm not their God.
That's right.
I'm not their Savior. That's right. And I'm not their hero. Mm-hmm. There's one in that story, and his name is Jesus.
That's right.
My job was to steward them. My job is to love them, to raise them, and to train them, but it was never to save them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is Jesus' job.
Right. I think it's one of the hardest. It is a very hard thing to do if you were that person. Mm-hmm. You know, and not just with your children. You know, and I'll just use myself for, you know, I'm a problem solver.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If I walk into this room and y'all are like, I don't know what we're going to do, I know what we're going to do.
Yeah, we're going to do this.
We're going to do this. We're coming out. I mean, that's it. And so one of the first things I had to learn in a walk with the Lord was to let him have that.
That's right.
And yeah. I'm telling you right now, mm-hmm. I'll just go ahead and repent. I don't have that down yet.
Yeah.
I still have a tendency to walk in the room and solve the problem.
Right.
I do. Because, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know why I'm geared that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not geared like I know what to do because I'm smart or anything like that. It's just I know that we are not without answers. Mm-hmm. We're not.
It's your nature as far as your godly nature to like, mm-hmm. but God can fix this. Mm-hmm. But God, you know.
I know he'll give us a wisdom about it.
Yeah. But to watch the whoever's in your life, it doesn't have to be a prodigal. It can, like you said, spouses. It can be. Friends that you're really close with or whatever, and to watch them, even maybe as an adult, totally flip and go a different way. And it's like, what? That person used to, and that person used to, and now you're watching this, and you're like, you know, what's happening here? And so we have to, like you said, let God solve it. Let God be the problem solver. And especially when you're used to, like you said, when you have that nature to just almost control sometimes, and that I'm that way. It's like, I'll fix it. Let me do it. I'll take it. I'll do this. I'll do it. And it's like, God didn't tell you to do all that. Just calm yourself. You know, calm down.
Yeah. Now, let's flip the script a little bit.
I want to.
All right. Now, not trying to leave the conversation.
No,
but
we need to.
But maybe your person in your life's not a prodigal running away from God. Like what we're talking about is adult children, younger. Maybe young adults, even teenagers, they're in a place of rebellion. They're just running. They're running away hard. Now, let's flip the script, though, and move it to somebody who's young in the faith, who's never had much discipleship, never had parenting. We're not talking about letting them just always feel the weight of their sin.
That's right.
That there comes a point that we need. This is where discernment comes in. So, like, we're working with a young person right now, and they never had true parenting. They never had a true, really, mom and dad to speak life, to give them discipleship, to even give them life skills. Like, we're not talking about letting them just drop and burn. Like, we're not talking about that. What we're talking about is people who know the truth, who has been raised, but yet are actively just
in rebellion.
In rebellion. Yeah, yeah. Now, and so in this case, though, like, I had to tell, you know, like, this person who's really freaked out, like, this problem could arise, this problem could arise, this problem could arise, that problem could arise. What if this happens? What if that happens? And they were just living so much fear and anxiety. And I'm like, look, this is one thing I've learned. Every problem has a solution. It just may not be easy, and it may not be pleasant. But most solutions are simple.
Yeah.
It's just not easy.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I was sharing, like, you know, together there's no problem that coupled with the grace of God and through the empowerment of Jesus that the body of Christ together can't walk through.
This is that scripture is going to come into play right here, that where he said he would not allow you to be tempted above what you are able to bear.
Yeah.
The temptation here is what you're doing. Your anxiety, you're anxious, you're walking the floor, you can't get these things off your mind. That is the temptation to worry over all these things. And he said, I will make a way. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you got to call that spot right there. If he said, I'll make a way of escape, then bless God, there's a way.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you hold to it. You seek him for the way, not for the, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? But if you're going to worry over and not in a bad way.
Yeah.
keep your mind consumed with the fact that God said there's a way.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
There's Yesterday, one of the scriptures I ran to is Isaiah 46, verse 8. Remember this and be brave. Take it to heart. He's talking to transgressors. Remember what happened long ago, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and no one is like me. I declare the end from the beginning.
Yes.
And from long ago, what is not yet done, saying my plan will take place. Mm-hmm. And I will do all my will. I call a bird of prey from the east, a man for my purpose from a far country. Yes, I have spoken, so I will also bring it about. I have planned and I will also do it. And so I have to run to things like that when you're attacked or whatever. You know, let's don't go back to the prodigal, but what we're saying is that God knows, like you said, from the beginning to the end, God knows what's going to happen in my situation, in your situation. He knew what was going to happen with Ruth. He knew that Naomi was going to stay. He knew Ruth was going to go find Boaz. He knew all those things. But in the moment, they had to walk through, and that's what we're all doing is we're walking through and holding on to the word that God says, I know from the beginning to the end, and it's going to happen what I planned. And understand the sovereignty of God. He knows. And I'm talking to myself in this, you know, of you have to keep running back. This morning I heard you play when I was driving here. What's his name? Where he begins to say, and he's God, and he's, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, S.M. Lockridge. Yeah. That's my God.
Oh, there's one that's somebody by Hill that does it. But anyway, yeah, that's my God. That's my God. And it was encouraging me. That's right. That's my God. He parted the Red Seas. You know, he closed the lion's mouth. That's my God. The story's over and over. That he said, from the beginning to the end, I have planned it, and I will also do it. That's what he said. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Right. My ways are not your ways, you know.
But he will reveal that way to you.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the beauty of being led by his Holy Spirit. You know, he called the end from the beginning, and that's kindly how I face things now. Mm-hmm. Like when I'm looking at something difficult, I say to myself, and I've said it to others, how's this thing going to end? Not because he called the end from the beginning.
He did.
So how's this thing going to end, Jeannie? Yeah. And so, and I'll talk to Jeannie. Mm. Well, this thing's going to end with me not forsaken.
Right.
Amen.
Hey, this thing's going to end with he's going to make a way.
That's right.
This thing's going to see, and
victorious.
I started.
Victorious.
Yeah. And so. Yeah. So that question, that thing that you're losing sleep over, you need to ask yourself in the Lord, how's this thing going to end? Mm-hmm. Because he's got an answer for you.
And he says, I'm watching over my word to perform it. You speak it out. You begin to declare the works of the Lord. You begin to declare what he said is going to happen. You know, not what we think with our mind. My worst thoughts that was happening to me yesterday, you know, my worst fears happening to me in my brain, you know, I had to run back. But that's not what he says. He says from the end to the beginning. You know, that's actually backwards. Should be beginning to the end, but that's our God. That's the way he words things.
I love the end from the beginning.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. My plan will take place. I know the plans I have for whoever or whatever. Mm-hmm. I know, and we speak that out and we declare it, and we say his word will not return void. Abraham hoped against hope and believed, you know, and it says he wavered not in unbelief. But, you know, he was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. And how does it say? And he believed that God was also able to perform it. He never let go of the fact that, God, you promised me a son. And he didn't look at their age, 99 and 100. He didn't look at that. And he said, God, from the end to the beginning, you said, and it happened.
The power of it was in the speaking, too.
Right. The declaring. Yes.
It's not in the mind alone. You lose.
Right.
You lose.
Yeah.
But when you begin, it sounds like we're saying the whole name it, claim it thing, but it's not. Mm. When I say, I've never seen the righteous forsaken.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And it's speaking to me and it's speaking to whoever else wants to hear it.
That's right.
I'm telling you. Yeah. But the thoughts that are going wrong on you begin to lose power.
That's right.
When you begin to say what God said about
it. Take authority.
My hope is in the Lord.
My
hope is in his word. You know, it says, Lord, I found your words. I ate them and they became a delight to me. Mm-hmm. You know, and they have to.
It's more than just speaking what you think somebody else said.
Yeah, declaring I'm going to get a car.
But you got to start somewhere.
That's right.
You got to start somewhere. I started in Psalms.
Yeah.
I didn't know what else to say, so I just opened up to a good part.
That's right.
I started reading out loud.
You talked about it the other day about the lamiment or whatever, that our cells are created in a cross, so they react when the word is spoken. You know, our cells react. So we need to, you know, run to it and let it become, let's eat it and let it become a delight to us and change. Like I said, even this morning, as I'm speaking, as I'm declaring, my joy is coming, you know, even more and more. And you know, I'm letting go as through the process of speaking the word and fellowshipping with
and
others.
Faith is growing in this moment.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's really growing.
I've noticed this several times lately, that whenever I have a really bad day, when the day has started off bad, well, it started off good with the Lord, but then something happened.
Yes.
And if I dwell on that thing and I continue to talk about it, or I continue to think about it, then it just continues to get worse and worse and worse. But when I submit that thing to the Lord and I choose not to dwell on it, but I submit it and I say, Lord, I know this happened, but you're still good. And I keep looking at him and focusing on him. He redeems the whole day better than I could ever have imagined. It's happened. He's shown me that in the past, like, few months, like it was specific times that he always does something if I will just submit it to him.
That's right.
If I will just give it to him in that moment and do the thing that's hard, because what's easy is to let my emotions run rampant and to think about it or talk about
your
it
mind
or
run
get pulled into gossiping about it, you know, and go to man instead of go to him. But when I go to him, and even if I have some prayer warriors, like, hey, will you pray with me? Can we get can you help me right now, make sure my heart's right in and let's just pray and intercede for this. God takes that day and turns it better than I could ever possibly think imagine.
That's right.
And last night at Young Adult, that we were talking about the scripture, if your eye be single, then your whole body will be filled with light. And how if our eye is single focused on Jesus, then we will be filled with light. We won't be filled with all those things that our mind is running to.
That's
because what we behold, we do become. What we're looking at, what we're focusing on, and it goes along with what we're thinking. They're connected, because the eye is the gate, the gateway.
And you can't just stop thinking. You know, sometimes we think, oh, I just ain't going to think like that. That won't work.
No.
It is the eye single. You got to put your attention another way.
On him.
Right.
Another way.
Amen.
Right. Yeah. It's good.
You speak old saying, you are what you eat. You remember that?
Yeah.
And it's true. You know, they were talking about natural, you know, eating healthy kind of thing, but it really is true.
What you're feasting on, yeah.
You are what you eat.
Yeah. And, you know, for that person out there that's doing the hard thing, and you're like, it's not feeling like it's getting easier.
Yeah.
Just keep doing the hard thing.
That's right.
I know Miss Crystal talked about eating healthier. I know in weightlifting, you know, my journey of health and weightlifting started on, I think it was July 3rd or 2nd or something like that it started on. So I'm only about, I don't even know what month this is, four months
October,
in?
October. Yeah.
So about 4 months in. And it hurts still. Like, when I lift, like today, my body hurts from the pounding it took yesterday. And I'm going to go lift again today.
Right.
It's just hard. Like, sometimes you lift sore. And I just use that as an analogy, because I'm learning there's progress being made. Even if you're still doing the hard thing and you're still having to continue to be sore a little bit, and maybe there's some things hitting you still, the progress is still being made. You're moving forward. So I just want to encourage you, as we said from Isaiah 57, set your face like flint, friend.
Right.
There's a hard thing going on, but nothing is too hard for our God.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I've learned. It's not always just this overnight miraculous deliverance. Sometimes he's taking us through a process, because he's not just teaching the prodigal, he's also teaching us. Sometimes he's not just teaching our kids, he's training us too. Sometimes he's not just giving us a situation to say, I just need you to do this. Like, no, we're coming through the fire as well.
Right.
And we'll never be the same. Like, so this hard thing you're doing, if I stick to the place that I'm at now, I'll never be the same. Now, if I go back, I'll revert right back to my overweight, sore feet, can't walk around, limping person. But if I keep pushing forward, and that's just a word for somebody out there, if you just keep pressing forward, and Paul says, forgetting the things which are behind me, I press towards the high mark. I press on. So for somebody out there this morning, you need to press on.
Yeah.
You need to press on. Set your face like flint, as Isaiah 57 says. In Luke 9, Jesus says, I face my face. I point my face towards Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. He's putting his face towards, he's going to go. The cross is ahead of him. But the hard thing brings deliverance to a great mass amount of people. Mm-hmm. You know, as we're going to honor, I know we got to go to break. You know, there's an honoring of Charlie Kirk today for his birthday. And even in Litchfield, he did the hard thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He did the hard thing. And he laid his life down mm-hmm. for truth, for the gospel. And over and over and over, we're hearing the testimony of people being saved because of this. I mean, I have heard so many testimonies. Even, you know, I listened to another one yesterday on Focus on the Family or Family Talk. And,
I heard that, yeah.
And just about how they gave their life to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Chris Tomlin was talking about that being with an Uber driver. And he gave his heart to Jesus because of what happened to Charlie. Mm-hmm. Like the Lord drew him through this. And I got to stop playing games. That's what the guy said. Yeah. I got to stop playing games.
Yeah.
And you just never know what your hard thing is going to produce in the earth.
That's right.
Just keep doing it.
Yeah.
Keep doing it.
Amen.
First trivia question of the morning. Which two nations were the Israelites not allowed to conquer? Which two nations were the Israelites not allowed to conquer? We'll be right back here after the break. Come on. Hallelujah. He's alive. He's alive.
Yes.
He's alive. He's alive. Amen.
Amen.
Now what you gonna do?
Well, I'm having a turkey, scrambled egg,
not
potato,
you.
Bacon,
Everybody
cheese.
Oh, that was listening
I thought
to
you
us
were talking
say
to me,
Miss
Jeannie.
He's eating breakfast on the
what
radio.
You gonna do with Jesus? I'm talking to everybody out there listening.
Ah, he's alive. He's alive. Amen.
Amen.
What a great morning we've had so much. If you're out there and this word has that kind of just came up, spoke to you, we're praying for you. Amen.
Amen.
We are praying for you. We're declaring God's goodness and God's deliverance and direction and wisdom and guidance over your life. Amen.
Amen.
Mm. Well, don't forget, go ahead and put it on your calendar, October 25th. I was sitting there thinking about this. It's not this Saturday, but it's next. I thought about that this morning about 5 o'clock in the morning, saying, oh, yeah. That's really soon. It's... Okay, we got to get going.
Yeah. So, the whole month of October was like boom, boom,
boom.
But just something every weekend.
Yep.
So, but that's the way it is this time of year. Things just start.
I told somebody that yesterday. I said, I think everybody waits to do everything in October.
Yeah. Well, you know winter's coming, so you got to get in everything you can before. Because I tried just to plan our little fall thing. It was like I had to go back and forth, and and state tournament, regional tournament, you can't do it then, you know, chili cook-off and all these things. And I was like, well, we're going to pick a date, and whatever happens, happens. So
it was so fun. I had a lot of fun over at your all's house.
Thanks.
It was a great day.
Yeah,
great day of fellowship.
Too.
And
yeah, we did too.
Hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
I heard the program yesterday. I really loved Honestly, I was on the way to E-Town and with the kiddos, and I really loved I'd never seen that before in the text, and I just really – it really spoke to my heart when you was talking about Peter's mother-in-law.
Yeah.
And I could just – I guess I never really thought about the gentleness and
That's,
the care that Jesus –
Same thing with me. Mm-hmm. The Lord. It was the Lord because – I really kind of got a little vision of it when I read it. And if you don't know, it was in Matthew 20. No. Oh, I got my notes here somewhere. But anyway, and all it was is when Peter goes to the mother-in-law and it says he touched her hand and he lifted her up.
Yeah.
And whether that, what we talked about was whether that meant he grabbed her hand and lifted her up, you know, and she was healed. But in my mind, what I saw is when he touched her hand, he helped her sit up. He helped lift her up in that compassion. And that's what we went into of just the compassion of God in every situation and him just touching our hand and just lifting us up. Whether, like, to me, he helped her sit up in the bed and probably brought her some soup. You know, I don't know what they did. But she was healed in that minute, in that moment, from him touching her hand and helping her just sit up.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I saw. I don't know scripturally if that's right, as far as he may have touched her hand and she flew out of the bed. We don't know.
I
think he was probably gentle.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was. And so often, I've actually told somebody that before. I forgot who it was, but they were talking about frustration.
Right.
And how this one person, there's like, I just don't get a good feeling about him. And
And I'm like, okay, I understand. Like, sometimes I get a little red flags in check too. But I was like, but you know, one thing I've learned in a few years of pastoral ministry now is that people are precious.
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm. And even when correction comes, even like you do it as they're a gentle vessel. Like, don't be so harsh. And I'm not saying don't be corrective. I'm saying don't be harsh.
Right.
And don't be so just like the story that came to my mind yesterday is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And I couldn't imagine what the woman caught in the act of adultery felt when Jesus got in the dirt with
her. That's right.
Yeah. It's been one of my favorite stories since I've become a Christian, because I'm thinking, man, I was that woman. I was that woman at one time, and I knew what it was like for other people to stand above you with stones, and I also know what it was what it's like for the one man who was worthy to cast the stone to never pick up a stone, instead kneel down, look her in the eye, and I mean, he called her repentance. Mm-hmm. Like there's, I'm not saying he did not correct her, but he did it with such a ferocious love and compassion, and I don't know, that really spoke to me yesterday, I just started thinking about that in other ways as well throughout Scripture.
It's why I'm here. If that don't happen, I'm not here.
Right.
Because I would never weather the storms that we come across as Christians. I'd never make it through it. I'd walk off and leave every church I ever walked in.
Yeah.
If that were what was holding me.
Right.
But what holds me is the one who got in the dirt.
That's right.
And looked me in the eye.
Right.
And said, come.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that was the one we read yesterday was Mark. It's in all the Gospels, but Mark 1 and verse 29 said, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went into Simon and Andrew's house with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law was lying in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he went to her, took her by the hand, and the King James says, and lifted her up. Mine says raised her up. But he said, and lifted her up. The fever left her, and she began to serve them. So that's what we were talking about as far as Jesus just touched her hand and just lifted her up and set her up in the bed and helped her.
Yeah.
So the compassion. And then we talked about, he cooked breakfast for them, so.
It was a really good discussion. I really enjoyed that yesterday, getting to listen to it. And I was enjoying it so much that when I lost service, I had to have them put me on the app real quick too, so I had to transfer over, so I wouldn't miss anything, because it was a really good morning, and I was even thinking about, and sometimes you're the one that needs lifted up, and it's hard to receive that.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Jacob was with our families at a restaurant not too long ago. I'll just say restaurant. It was a fast food restaurant, And we had Sarah and Jeremiah was with us that day as well. And so we have quite a few people. And Sarah comes running up. We're actually getting ready to leave, and we have all of our kids kind of standing up, getting everything together. And Sarah come running up and just said, Aaron, an old guy just fell out there. And so I just run out there, of course. And you have your people that's just going to, like, swoop in there and, like, get him up. I'm like, and that he's an older guy. And so this younger woman's just like, pick him up. And I'm like, whoa, like, leave him here. And so I run out there real fast. And I just, like, it's in the middle of the parking lot. And at this restaurant, it's really a dirty parking lot, honestly. And it always
and
is.
And you ate there? Just kidding.
Well, the parking lot, not the restaurant. It just always seems like a lot of oil stains, a lot of things like that.
Yeah.
And I remember just sitting in this parking lot with this guy. And I just get down, and I'm like, don't move. And so I'm asking him what hurts, and he's like, nothing really hurts. And so he's going to get up.
Yeah.
But he couldn't get all the way up. So he kind of sits up. And I remember at this time, Jacob's out there. He coming out there too. And I just kind of positioned Jacob behind him, and the guy's braced against Jacob just sitting up. And he's an old veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, sir. Like,
this wasn't my husband, was it?
No.
Okay.
And I just said, sir.
Always found out later.
Like, he said, son, I think I'm okay. He said, I fall often. I'm okay. I just lose feeling my legs. And he's like, I can get up. So I'm like, well, won't you help? Well, no, we're okay.
Yeah.
Well, finally, me and Jacob convince him to let us help him up. And we pick him up, and we're carrying him to his car, and his wife's sitting there. Didn't even really know what's happening.
Oh, no.
And she goes, did he fall again? And we said, yes, ma'am. And he said, I'm so ashamed. He said, I used to be so tough, and now I'm so weak. And I said, sir, first of all, thank you for your service. Mm-hmm. I said, you gave your body in a lot of ways so that we could have free. And we kind of shared some encouragement. But I said, can I pray with you? And he said, I'd love nothing more, my brother. He said, I'm a follower, too.
Oh, wow.
But I tell this story for one reason, is that you could tell he struggled to allow us to help him up.
Right, yeah.
And so maybe you're the person out there, get a little gentler with helping people up. Mm-hmm. And then maybe you're a person out there that you need to become a little gentler and letting people help you.
Yeah.
Because I was on the phone with Joe about a month or so ago, and I see and the guy laying on the side of the road, I mean, he's out. Mm. And Joe's phone just happened to cut out that same time. So I was like, I'm turning around. So I turn around and pull into the parking lot. He's laying out in the middle of the grass. And it's a hot day. Honestly, it's a hot day. And I was afraid he passed out. And he struck me as somebody who was probably having some diabetic issues, to be honest with you, just the way he was acting. And I said, sir, can I help you up? Or can I help you get something? Do you need food? Do you need anything? And he said, I'm an Army vet. I don't need nobody's help. Like, he was just the opposite. Like, the other guy was struggling, but this guy was a complete opposition.
Yeah.
This guy was not going to – I said, well, can I pray with you for anything? He said, I'm all right. He was real hateful and real mean. And you know what? I had no choice but to leave him laying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He wasn't going to let me call. He wasn't going to let me do anything. He was mad. He was angry.
Yeah.
And I look at those two situations – and I think a lot of people, you stay in your mess because you're not willing to let, first and foremost, the Lord pick you up. And then you're not willing to let people come alongside you and pick you up. And that's one of the beautiful things of the body of Christ, is that maybe, as we said Sunday, we're the ones to go and encourage and bear each other and walk alongside each other. But maybe you find yourself in the grass. Stop being so hateful and stop being so prideful and arrogant, because your pridefulness may be the very reason you're still in your mess.
Right.
Repent of that. Allow somebody, ultimately the Lord, to pick you up and get you out of it. Mm-hmm. But I've learned that we could be both of those people. And I think at times I've been the prideful person.
Yeah.
You know, I can do this.
Yeah.
And be careful of that, because there's a lot of pride in that.
My father, in the last few years of his life, had lost feeling in his legs too. And he'd say, I know how to fall. I was a Marine. I know how to fall, you know, because it was that tuck and roll.
That's
you know,
a thing.
Thing.
Then he brags about being able to fall.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I said, Dad, you know, that's not wisdom.
That's not what we're looking for here.
Exactly. Let's don't fall. And he'd say, I'm fine. You know, mm-hmm. In fact, when he passed away, we all got shirts that said, I'm fine. Because that was his famous, I'm fine. Y'all leave me alone. I'm fine. You know, so anyway.
Well, amen.
Amen.
That was all about gentleness, but that was all to go back to what Miss Crystal was saying. That
yeah,
I really
did. The compassion of Jesus.
And don't be afraid to you know, don't be afraid. Well, even in that, the Lord, He'll lead you. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're not going to do anything to you.
Right.
And you don't know that guy that didn't want your help, don't want your prayer, don't want, you know, okay, the rest of your day is full of coals of fire on your head.
Right.
I mean, you're stuck with the fact that somebody reached out to you. Mm-hmm. You're stuck with the fact that somebody wanted to pray with you.
Right.
He didn't lose that because he drove you away.
Right.
It's there.
Yeah.
And who knows what the Lord may have done with it.
Right.
So be encouraged that nothing is for nothing.
Right.
When it's done in the name of the Lord,
that's
it's not.
Right. Yeah. Planting some plants, some. You know,
that's right. That's
and you
right.
don't know.
You set him up.
Yeah.
You set him up for the next guy. That's what
right.
you did.
Yeah.
Well, there's a really cool story. I don't know if y'all have seen this or not. It's been circulating on social. I'm sure it's on social media. I've got it sent to me on Messenger, so I'm sure it is. But it's on Fox News and some other major things. A pastor to order a pizza. I don't know if y'all seen this or not.
I haven't.
And I guess the woman had brought the wrong food. And so she's really upset. Like, she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And he just said, hey, it's going to be okay. And he ended up getting her to let him pray for her and blessing her. And the whole family come around her and encourage her. And she's just weeping and crying. He's like, she's going to... And I love how he said this. He said it wasn't about her just knowing we loved her. Mm-hmm. It's about her knowing the Lord loved her.
That's right. That's right.
And if you haven't seen that story yet, it's a really good story to read.
Yeah. Well, it says his kindness is what leads us to repentance. Yeah. Is God's kindness, and that's, you know, and we are to be like Jesus, you know, and move in that. And so, yeah, we're to be his laborers in the harvest is what we're asking. And you know, as we step out and we do things for others, God's going to take care of the needs in our lives as far as the ones we're praying for. You know, I always say that, you know, not twisting God's arm or anything like that, but as I keep sowing into the kingdom in ways, and I'm not talking about just money, in ways of praying for others and doing whatever I can do, I know God's going to take care of my family. I know God's going to take care of the things, the friends and family that I'm praying for. I'm asking God, send laborers into their harvest. Where I can't reach God, you reach them, God. And it's a principle of sowing and reaping. And that doesn't have to do with just money. You know, we give our, and again, we don't do it just to get something back. But I know God's going to honor the things that we do, even here as a ministry or your church, wherever you're, the things, the outreaches and programs that you do and reaching the lost, God's going to reach the lost for you in your situations and in your families.
Yeah. It was just on here earlier. I was trying to look for that.
Find that story.
It was on Fox News and a lot of other websites. But
But
it was a really cool story. And you're right, Ms. Crystal. A lot of times it's, you have to see what we're doing as investing.
Right.
It's sowing.
Right.
And as Miss Jeannie said, like I'm in agreement with that. Like that maybe that guy was not going to let me pray for him that day.
Right.
That guy wasn't going to let me pick him up. I even offered to take him somewhere. I offered to get him food. He wasn't going to let, but I still believe there's a seed sown that day.
That's
or
right.
Maybe it wasn't the seed. Maybe it was the watering. Because you got to remember, the Lord gives the increase. What we're doing is we're sowing.
That's right.
And we're giving an atmosphere for that seed to grow, but it's only the Lord that gives the growth.
That's right.
And so it's good.
And brings the harvest. He does. So are we through with Ruth?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're just doing a few verses a day.
Yeah, yeah. We just started that first part of it.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I'll just read this. I don't know where we'll go with it if you want.
Absolutely.
I just read this morning, so I don't know. It's kind of a little bit different vein where we're going, but we'll just read it. We're in Joshua 1, our favorite, one of our favorites. I'm just going to start in verse 5. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. He's talking to Joshua. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so even as a radio station, this is a word that we proclaim and is the ministry of Box 2, is that we make sure you know about the word. And this says, this is a book of instruction. And everything we do needs to line up with the word. Everything. You know, if you're questioning, you know, I heard this thing. I wonder if that, do you think that's right? Does it line up with the word? Mm-hmm. Everything should witness with the word. I went to Joshua 1, Jeannie. And it just says, don't turn from it to the right or the left. You know, don't get distracted by things that come against you. Don't let the cares of this world distract you from your reciting of the word. It says, don't turn from the right or left so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it, meditate on it, is what one translation says, day and night. Mm. You know, and it creates in you character. It creates in you wisdom. You know, it says in Proverbs 1, wisdom, or it might be Proverbs 4, one of those two. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. The first thing you are to do in your life is to get wisdom from God. How do you get it? By Joshua 1. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. Recite it. Speak it. We talked about it earlier. Declare it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. Maybe you're not even going through anything. Maybe, thank God, your storms, you've been through them.
That's the best time to do it.
Yeah, that's going to say, your storms may not be rising up right now, but you can say, you know what? I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to have the word in me so that when things come against me, you know, in the good times, recite the word. In the bad times, speak the word. And so it says day and night. 24/7 mm-hmm. if you are able to. Now, sometimes we can't always physically do that. But the way, you know, someone told me, and I think I said this on the radio before, man, I wish my Bible looked like that. Well, my Bible looks like this because I choose, no credit to me, I choose to meditate on it day and night. I recite it day and night. So, and it says it's a book of instruction.
When I first came to the Lord, and read that and heard that scripture, heard it for the first time, meditate on the word day and night, I went, how in the world is that possible?
Right.
You know, but I did.
Yeah.
In the sense, as I ate, the Bible refers to the word of God as, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life.
That's right.
You know, this word is food.
Right.
That you have to have spiritually. Mm-hmm. And with it, as you take the time to eat, it stays with you.
That's right.
You ever ate anything that stayed with you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good and bad.
good and bad. It stays with you.
That's right.
And when it begins to fade, it's your sign that you got to eat. I just haven't eaten today.
That's right.
It's the same way spiritually. Mm-hmm. And then you'll end up in this meditate day and night. Meditate is part of, is not just thinking. Mm-hmm. It's a pondering, it's a wondering, it's envisioning, and it's actually speaking. It's doing all of those things. And so whatever you read today, go tell somebody what you read today.
That's right.
And while you're telling them, all of a sudden you'll go, did you hear what I just said? Yeah, why? Because the Lord got in your words.
That's right.
He's in the conversation. And so when I went to bed at night, I would, and I still do this, by the way, right. I'll put my laptop on. Mm-hmm. I may put it on a teaching and fall asleep to that.
Yep.
Or I may put it on worship music and fall asleep to it. Mm-hmm. I still am in that meditate day and night
Right.
But it's not a duty. It's a desire.
Right. You hunger for it.
I hungered
for
it.
As the deer pants for the water,
right.
So my soul pants,
that's exactly,
you know, thirst
right.
for you and runs after you, God. And so, yeah, that's really good as far as pondering. That just means you stay on it. You stay on it. You speak it, and then when the time is right, and like Pastor Aaron, when you find somebody on the side of the road, and you say, can I pray for you? And they say, yeah, then you have a word for them.
Mm-hmm.
You have a scripture for them, you know. Sometimes and we all do this, but I'll text something to someone. It's a word that I feel like God is saying to someone. Why? Because, you know, I know where it's at. I go look for it, you know, and our Bibles or whatever, they should be marked. They should be wrote in.
She said whatever because I have a laptop.
No, I have one too. I don't know why. I can't, and this is, I guess, my brain. When I tried to read off that thing and look up something, I couldn't find my place. So I like my Bible. That's just me. If you
have
a laptop,
Bible,
yeah, I have an app on my phone. I have an app on my.
Stop it.
I have an app on my. No, she don't. No, I'm just kidding.
I do too have a Bible.
I'm just kidding. I have an app on my phone that's a Bible. I have an app on my laptop. So I'm right there with you, Jeannie.
She's judging me.
No. Her and her mechanical Bible over there. Just kidding. But, I mean, we all do it. I have it, like I said, and I'll run on the phone sometimes and I'll go Google, like, what does God say about this? You know, I'm sorry. What's a scripture say about this? And you can do that. You could go say a scripture on healing, a scripture on prodigals, a scripture on meditation, pondering. And they're in a list like 25, 30 of them for you. And you can go study.
You've heard me say this before. I'm a very visual.
Right.
And the Lord, so the Lord deals with me visually a lot. Mm-hmm. So it's real important to know your word if you're going to get a vision.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But one day he showed me two chairs in the middle of the room. And I had a choice.
Yep.
Which seat am I going to sit in?
Oh.
I know. And this, it goes back to what we're talking about here. See, I'm not going to wait for problems to come.
Right.
I know problems will come. Jesus said, yes. In this world, you will face trouble. Mm-hmm. Okay, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world.
That's right.
So I've chosen to be on the overcoming place mm-hmm. before the trouble comes.
Right.
It's so important because I'm not reacting to what happened today.
Right.
I'm not going to react to what happened today. Why? Because I already took a seat this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And that seat is seated together with him in heavenly places, right. far above what may happen today.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm seated in the righteousness. I'm seated in the wisdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
I took a seat with him where that comes from.
Right.
Now, if I sit in that other chair, that's a worldly chair.
Mm-hmm.
And this day is going to run me crazy.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
So I choose what seat I'm going to sit in. So a lot of times people will say, how you doing? I said, depending on what seat I'm in. If I sit in this seat, I'm good.
That's right.
Right. Because I'm seated together with him.
Yeah.
Far above all this. But if I sit over there in that chair, it's not so good.
That's kind of what happened to me yesterday. Heard some bad news, you know. And I sat there for a minute, just immediately you could just feel fear. Mm. I was going down quick. I mean, I was just like, it was overwhelming me. But I said, wait a minute. And I got up and I went and got the word. And I prayed it through tears. I quoted it through tears. And I confessed it through tears. And woke up again this morning. Same thing, trying to torment me, trying to come at me with thoughts and things. And I had to say, wait a minute, this book of instruction says if I recite day and night. So I knew where to go run to. I knew what scriptures to confess. I started confessing the scriptures that are applied to my situation. And it helped me come out of it. I still have emotions. I still walk through things. And I release them. And God doesn't judge me because I have tears. He knows what I'm walking through. But what am I going to do with those tears? Am I going to stay in depression? Am I going to stay in discouragement and let fear? It says right here, same scripture, do not be afraid mm-hmm. or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you. But he's given you, I'm backing back up, the book of instruction. You must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. So you can't read Psalms 1 every day. You can, and it's good. I don't mean it that way. But you can't stay there. You got to go through the rest. You got to start digging. You got to start observing, fully observing everything written in it. Even the books like Leviticus mm-hmm. and Numbers and the boring books.
It comes out of strong desire, though.
It
I got to say that, because if it just comes out of duty,
right.
You're going to get weary real quick.
Right.
We have so much material these days. You can go on a search. You can go on a hunt in mm-hmm. the Word of God, and it's exciting to see what God would say. And then in the midst of while you're reading it, he will say something else.
Right.
Or he will show you two chairs.
That's right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He'll save your life.
It's exactly right. He'll get the answer to you.
Well,
but I love the King James here.
No, go ahead.
Crystal,
go ahead.
On verse 8, uh-huh. it says, for then you shall make your way prosperous.
That's
There's
right.
a way to prosper in this
That's
land.
Right.
There's a way to walk through every situation
That's right.
and prosper mm-hmm. in the midst of it. There's
That's right.
a way.
Mm-hmm.
His name's Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah.
And when I say, he'll save your life, what I mean is he gives words sometimes that causes your path that you're going on to totally shift.
Mm-hmm.
I've shared it over and over and over, and I'll share it till the end of days of when I went through the trials I did of the cancer process. I don't know how to say it.
Right.
The journey. At the end, the very end, they wanted me to stay on a certain drug. And it started affecting my liver. And so they got me off that drug, put me on something else to help the liver. And so I asked them, what happens when my liver's better and you put me back on that drug? Well, we'll have to get you back off and give you that other medicine again. And I said, no, I know one thing in the medical field, the liver's pretty important.
Yeah, it's really
so
important.
So I went to the Lord with it, and he gave me a scripture. I was reading a word, and that word came and jumped off the page at me. I knew what to do. I stopped everything. Now, please don't go doing this without, this
no,
is not what I'm saying.
Lord.
I heard from the Lord, mm-hmm. and thank God it worked for me. I am cancer-free off all drugs and everything. But the Lord, I could have went, continued to be in a medical battle back and forth between my liver and this drug they wanted me on. The, you know, because it was about 70, maybe, I think it was even less than that, 50 to 70% that it could help me not ever get cancer again. And I was like, well, you know, I'll take my chances with Jesus, and I got a good chance I'm never getting it again, because Nahum 1 says this oppression and this sickness and disease will not come on you a second time. Mm-hmm. So I got a hold of that, and I began to read it. And Miss Rose Atkins gave me that scripture. And I just speak it over my life every day. I meditate on the fact that these things will not come on me a second time, and I stand on it. And so we're just encouraging you to today.
Amen.
Meditate on it day and night.
You know, I love that you said that. See, you got to hear from the Lord.
Yeah.
I say this all the time.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's been my life. I know that in every situation, knowing the Word's great.
Right.
But I got to hear from Him.
Yeah.
And where am I going? More than likely, I'm going to hear from Him in the Word.
The Word.
So,
yeah.
You know, they all go hand in hand, but they do go together.
Yeah, they do.
And so every person hears that belongs to the Lord, that really belongs to Him.
Right.
You have His Spirit. Mm-hmm. You should be hearing from Him.
That's right.
And you'll like this one, Aaron. I he probably ain't listening. But on
He's shaking his head.
Raise a Hallelujah this week. Uh-huh. Or last week, I don't remember which, but the Lord gave me this phrase, you were born to hear.
Mm.
My goodness, y'all.
That's good.
We were born again to hear His voice.
Right.
That's what you were born for.
That's right.
My goodness. So if maybe you haven't heard say, I haven't heard from Him in a long time, then go get yourself in a position to hear from Him.
That's right.
Look, it's a heart set. Mm-hmm. Set your heart and
that's
mind
right.
to hear from the Lord.
That's right.
And go where He talks from.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
This is where He talks from.
Yeah.
He may be talking to you right now.
Uh-huh.
You know, through what Crystal has shared or what were the scriptures that we're reading or whatever. He will not, my sheep know my voice. He would not say that if He's not going to talk.
That's right. That's right.
So you need, no matter where you find yourself today, no matter what your situation is, you need to hear from the Lord. Mm-hmm. You do.
That's good.
Because you won't move with any kind of assurance or confidence until you hear from Him.
That's right.
We can tell you all day long, well, you need to do this and you need to do that. But you've got to hear it from Him.
That's right.
And He will not abandon you here.
That's right.
This is where He will speak.
He says, I will never leave you or forsake you.
Yes.
In the same scripture.
He's
I won't
speak.
Leave you. And don't be afraid to hear from the Lord. I've been in situations before where like, I need to go hear from God, but I don't know if I want to hear what He's got to say. I think I know the answer, and I don't really want to. But, I mean, what better than to know that even if it's something I don't want to hear, it's for my good. Mm-hmm. All things work together for my good because of Him and His purpose.
And here's the beauty of hearing from Him. This is my favorite part. When you hear from the Lord, I heard this taught years ago, and I believe it with all my heart. It's been proven in my life. When He speaks to you, what just came to you, hard or not, if it was a correction, if it was a edifying, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, with that word He spoke to you came the power to walk it out.
That's right. That's right.
There it is right there.
Yeah.
I heard from the Lord,
yeah.
And now I also have the power to walk it out. Why? Right. It came with the voice.
That's right.
It came with the word.
The word. Yeah. You meditated.
Yeah,
you stayed there.
On.
You pondered on it. And that's why I was able, because I was even intimidated or fearful to even go face a room full of doctors and tell them, I want off of everything. Now, I didn't in the journey of chemo and radiation, I let that process happen. Don't recommend it, but if you have to do it, you hear from the Lord on that, okay? But this particular, I knew I needed to get off, and I was able to be bold and courageous, as the word says, and go walk in a room where they said, and I thought they were going to, you know, because before it's like, no, you have to do this, or no, you need to do this, or you need to, and it almost became control in my life. Now, I'm talking about for me, okay? Please don't stop or going to doctors. That's not what I'm saying. My journey was, at one point in my process of being under doctors, the Lord said, stop. You've been at this. I want you to stop. Withdraw your hand, as the scripture He gave me, from the enemy. And so I went, I mean, not the word was the anybody. You know what I meant. Okay. And so, but I was able to go into a room and I was like, God, I have a word from you. And I'm staying with that word no matter what they tell me. And I walked in that room and I told them, you know, basically what I felt. I don't want to go through this process of back and forth. And I want to stop everything. And normally they would have chopped me up. And they looked at me because I had the boldness of the Lord. Mm-hmm. They said, it's your body. Whatever you want. We don't recommend it, but you do what you need to do.
Right.
And later, another doctor, I went to a new doctor, and that doctor said, you made the right decision. He said, that hasn't even been tested. You made the right decision. So I wasn't so smart. I got a word from God.
That's right.
You know, I had a word, and I stood on it. And when you get a word, you're not backing off. You're not going to back off when you get that word. And where did I get it? I was reading the word, and it jumped off the page.
He won't fail you in this. And that's why it's so important that you get your word in the word. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you can, does that mean God can't speak to you out here? Of course he can speak to you out here. But if you don't have a gauge,
that's right.
You won't recognize that's the voice of the Lord.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you may follow a wrong voice.
That's right.
That's very possible. Mm-hmm. So the safeguard for following the right voice is the word of God.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Because in that, he gives his character. He gives his MO, so to speak. In that, in the word of God, you will understand him.
Right. Mm.
We can 100% guarantee there's always a word for us in the word.
That's right.
Right.
In the written word. Mm-hmm. But I think I see it as like a bonus when we get, you know, when we get a direct word, a rhema word, it's like a bonus, and then it comes along. You know, a bonus is added to.
That's right.
It's a further explanation of the word that's already there. Uh-huh. You know, it's not different. It lines
it's not
up with
different.
It.
That's right.
It lines up with it. But
hey, Aaron, have you listened to John MacArthur's "Knowing the Will of God"?
Yes, I did.
It's pretty good. Right there.
I loved it, actually.
It is pretty good. But so, you know, people don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what, and the Bible gives you specific the will of God is for you.
I thought it was a good teaching.
It is a very good teaching.
Yeah.
So I recommend that. Go let somebody else teach you the revelation they got from it. But John MacArthur, Knowing the Will of God.
Check it out.
That'll keep you busy for
a week.
But,
you know, also in this, it is a command also. You know, he says over and over through this, my servant Moses commanded you. And then at the bottom it says, haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Mm-hmm. How do we get strong and courageous? And he just said it, by meditating on the word day and night, over, ponder, like Jeannie said, meditate. Mm-hmm. Just sit in it, abide
somebody
in it.
Somebody really thinks they can't do this, but I'm telling you, you're already doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
You're doing it on everything coming and going in your life.
That's right.
You're just now. He's asking you to do him.
Shift your focus.
Shift your focus a little. That's it. Because your thoughts and your conversation are already going with everything that's happening in the world, everything's happening in your personal life, everything's happening in your personal life. I'm going to talk about your life, you know, but we can do these things. Yeah. We do them all the time. We just don't do them in the right place.
And what does Psalm say? I think it's, I don't know exactly. Psalms, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. But how do I know that? Meditate.
Lead
stand on
to
it.
The rock.
Heather wrote a song about that. That very verse.
She did write
Psalms 50 something, I think.
Can I read a verse? I was listening. I was just looking through some verses here.
I was making sure.
I'm going back to my, y'all know me, I love Psalm 119. I just love to dive into it. But Psalm 119, verse 100, and I'm going to start in 127. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold. Mm. Yea, above fine gold. Not just gold. He said even the finest of gold. I love your word more. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Now, 130 is where I want to get to. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doeth my soul keep them. And I love this verse 30. 130 is my favorite. The entrance. That entrance is the Hebrew for opening. The opening of your word giveth light, and it giveth understanding unto the simple. And he says, I opened my mouth and I panted, for I longed for thy commandments.
Yes, amen. The entrance of his word. Look, is there an entrance in you? Is there an entrance?
Yeah.
So you decide whether there's an entrance.
That's right. Open the door. That's right.
Open the door.
Psalm 61 is that other scripture that when my heart is overwhelmed, it's Psalm 61.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Used to be a song too. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock.
I got a better one than that.
No. I don't need to be singing right now with my head so stopped up.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
But no, I love that. I just really love 130 because, you know, it's just that opening of the word.
Yeah.
Giveth light. And that light is the aura, which means it's the breaking of day, the glorious, the kindle, set on fire, shines. Mm. The opening of the word sets you on fire. And the next verse, I can see this. He said, I opened my mouth and I panted as the deer pants for the brook. So my soul pants for you. And he says, I opened my mouth and I panted for what I longed for your commandments, which is the word mitzvah. That's the word to me as a human.
Wow.
The translation
I have in 130, it says, the revelation of your words brings light. And then it says, turn to me and be gracious to me as is your practice toward those who love your name. That's your practice. That's what you do. It's the discipline of saying, God, maybe I'm doing fine today. Maybe everything is wonderful, but I'm still going to meditate on your promises and receive a new word because I don't know what I'm going to face tomorrow. And I need to be ready. I need to open my heart, open the entrance of your word. Let it come in me to be ready so that I can be strong and courageous and not fear. I can walk through. I can leap over walls. And what's that scripture?
What does 131 say in your Bible?
Excuse me. Sorry, y'all.
That's good.
I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commands.
That entrance.
It's similar to ESV.
That entrance means disclosure or opening, either one. But it is in the word, it will open up.
Mm-hmm.
The word of God will open up to you
as
you spend time in it. And, can I share my first revelation ever?
Sure.
Y'all going to love it. Very first revelation. I remember my first two. After that, it's way too many to keep up with.
Yep.
Does that sound puffy?
No. That means that you're strong and courageous.
No, but my very first revelation, I'm reading the Word of God because I know I'm supposed to, right? And I'm reading The Lord is My Shepherd in Psalms 23.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And bam, I had a revelation. You know what I always thought that meant when I read it as a kid? Because we learned it, like, for God so loved the world. Right. You also learned, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
Mm-hmm.
The King James. And I thought it meant, the Lord is my shepherd, and I won't want him.
Yeah. The Lord is my shepherd, and I won't.
And I won't want him. I will not want him. I shall not want.
Oh, okay.
I thought it meant that I'm not going to want the
Lord.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm asking. What are you saying?
Yeah. Okay. You get it?
Thank you for explaining that.
Okay, so I've read that this day.
Right.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And all of a sudden, I saw it. And that was a huge revelation for me.
Yeah. It was.
It was huge.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because it was my first one.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget it. And my second one was, while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me.
Wow.
And I saw it.
Mm. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. I'll never forget
it. You know what's really cool, and this is kind of changing just because it's in my Bible and I wrote it down because I meditated. No glory to me. I'm just saying these are the things you need to be doing if you can. Each topic of the Psalms 119 is in the alphabetical for Hebrew. And the one that you read for 129, it starts with P-E. I don't know how you say it in the Hebrew. P-E, I guess. P-E.
Mm-hmm. And
it's got to have a... But it means mouth.
That means mouth.
Mm. And that means confess, speak, declare the word. Meditate on it first. Get it in your spirit, then speak it. Speak it.
Yeah.
Amen.
So he can pour more in.
It's been a day for it. We need to talk more out loud to ourselves and to the Lord.
Yeah.
Talk yourself right out of that storm.
Yeah. And you shared your first real revelation. This is my first, but this is This happened about a year and a half, 2 years ago for me, and it was in a season to where somebody I loved was trying to get me to travel more. And they were like, you know, you should really build a Aaron Wilson's ministry. You should do, I'm all for cameras. Like, I don't want anybody to think, I think cameras in a sanctuary live streaming is phenomenal. I think it gives the word and gets people
involved. I wish y'all would.
So I'm not against that. Like, but I'm seeing, like, I am against it, though, when you're on the street and, like, shoving cameras in people's face when God's doing amazing things. And, like, I'm not really for that so much. But I was sitting, they was like, you need to get out, like, you know, you could build a national ministry really quick. And I was, like, in that phase of, he was hearing that. But then I read 1 Thessalonians 4:11. And you talk about revelation. This revelation changed my life, because for so many ministries, it's about how big you're going to be. How big? How big you're going to go? How many churches you're going to do? How many people is going to follow? How many likes you get? And yet, 1 Thessalonians 4:11, the word changed my life, because I read that. And he says that you study to be quiet. Mm-hmm. And the ESV says, do you aspire to live a quiet life and to do your own business? The KJV says, the ESV says, basically, to mind your own business. Don't be a busybody. Mm-hmm. To work with your own hands as we commanded, that you may walk honestly toward them without them. And I was sitting there, and I remember reading this, and I said, you know what? Everything in modern day ministry teaches you to be loud, seen, and big. And yet 1 Thessalonians 4:11 tells me to be very quiet and small. And I told the church, I said, if I ever start a Aaron Wilson ministry, you have a right to rebuke me, calm me down, and throw tomatoes at me, whatever you want to do. Like, because I read that verse and I got the revelation. This thing is not about how big we are. It's about how big he is. Mm-hmm. And we are actually commissioned to live this quiet, gentle life. And it's like I was sharing Sunday morning. That's even like where, like, instructions from Paul's benediction there in 1 Thessalonians 5 comes in at for me, of just finding so much joy in the simple things. Like, I don't care if I ever preach among thousands. If I get to sit in my home and rock my newborn and hear my little three-year-old cackle and play, that beats the thousands any days of the week for me. And I feel like that's where this generation's at. And even Paul was like, man, I'm not trying to be big, guys. I'm just going to pour myself. God sent me to the Gentiles. You know, I may end up going back to Africa. We may end up going to India. But nothing is about being big. It's about making Jesus big. Because our goal in life should actually be to be small and to be quiet. And he says, study to be quiet. Aspire to be quiet.
Popular singer right now, Brett's favorite, our little grandson and brother for her, is Forrest Frank, and he decided this year not to go on the Dove Awards because he said, it's not about me. Mm-hmm. It's about Jesus. And he didn't go because he didn't want any more attention on himself.
There is a real scary borderline there for these Christian entertainers.
And he's huge, and I don't know if he won any awards. I didn't watch the Dove Awards.
I'm sure that he did.
Yeah, but he's really huge with the young kids right now. But he said, I don't want to exalt myself.
I had to tell y'all what happened last night. This is so funny. I mean, it is funny. It's good for your flesh. Good for your flesh. I was leading worship last night. I haven't got no voice, and you can hear that. And so, you know, we was joking around, and I said, okay, y'all, you know, y'all gotta be the worship leaders, because my voice is still no better. And I praise God that we have that dynamic, because they'll rise to the challenge. They'll sing it out. But we did a brand new song that I have practiced and listened to and listened to and listened to. Okay, we're doing it. Played the chord, and what came out wasn't right. And I was like, well, that's not it. So we start again. Okay. And then we're all kind of looking at each other, a little puzzled, and like, I'm not getting it. I can't find it. And so then the keyboard, she tries to find it. She can't find it. Then the drummer leans, Jeremy, y'all, he leans in and starts singing into the mic. That ain't it. That ain't it. And it's really, I mean, and we're like, you know, in that uncomfortable place. Yeah. Okay, nobody knows how to start this song. This never happened to me before. Now, we've all started a song and got wrong and went, okay, let's start over.
Yeah.
We've all done that.
Right.
We never recovered it. I mean, we never recovered it. I already sent out a text. We're doing this song next week.
We will not be defeated.
We will not. But, I mean, we was able to finally get around the chorus of it. More Than Anything is the name of the song. Mm. And we sang that thing, and we did get the chorus, like I said, and you could feel the Spirit of God on the chorus.
Right.
And I, you know, I sang that thing. And, but, you know, you lose anything that you think you might have or that you might bring, which I already, like I said, I didn't have no voice anyway, so I was in trouble to begin with. Maybe the Lord spared me.
Right. Spare the people is what he did.
Don't sing. You know? But it was just a blessing to be in that place and not care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just not care.
Be humbled.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
That's good.
I'll never forget the first time I played piano on a Sunday morning. And I'd played drums, guitar, and everything else. And I played a lot of different places. But here, I played piano one morning. It was the first time I ever going to lead on the keys. And Roger Gooster is going to sing the first song. Well, we had the song down. But Roger and Steven decided between practice sound check and the service, they're going to speed it up. So I started the song like we were supposed to start it. Steven couldn't figure out the beat because he was already thinking the faster one. Roger didn't know what was going on. It was a complete train wreck. The first time I've ever played keys in front of people like this, leading, and I'm just in a train wreck, and Brother Ron had to stop the service and said, "Boys, I think we just need to restart." You talk about your stomach at your feet.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm telling you, it's just like you do get to this place of, I'm not putting on a show.
That's right.
Like,
that's right.
You know, it's just worship. And, man, sometimes we're going to mess up. Sometimes we sing the wrong words. Sometimes I make them sing the wrong words because I don't agree with the words they're singing.
Yeah, I've done that.
You need to change that word. I don't think it's biblical. All right.
I've done it. I'm not singing that. So when I get to that line, I just...
We're going to worship. We worship through it.
We're not declaring that over me.
Yeah.
Yeah, God's good.
But it's fun.
You ever accidentally, like, said a word when you were just randomly singing a song that was like... Like, I've caught myself singing, like, say, like, saying something that would actually not be good. Like, accidentally saying a word that was, like, instead of saying, like, "You are holy," like, saying, like, "Somebody else is holy." Like, I don't know. Like,
I've
had, like, a slip-up before when I'm just mindlessly singing.
I am holy.
I've done that before.
Yes, I am holy. Or, like, the Lord. I don't know. Something that's totally wrong. Right. And I, like, have to stop myself, like, "Oh, my. I'm sorry, Lord. I don't know how that came out.
I didn't mean that, God. I'm sorry."
I'm like, "The devil get a hold of my tongue or something?"
Oh, I've made some slip-ups preaching before, so.
Yeah, we've all
go back and listen.
But I think
I think
God does that to us on purpose. Humble thyself
to get
in
our attention.
Yeah, sometimes it's like, you know, you're not all that.
Yeah, you're not all that. That's right.
You are still human, and I am God.
Amen.
But he's a good God.
You can get to a real good place with it.
There was a listener that they're still an anonymous listener. They've never told me their name.
I love anonymous listeners.
But from LeGrand. But anyways, I also thought that about "Shall Not Want." Thank you, Box 2, for saying that.
Awesome. Oh, you gotta let me meet you. I didn't ever heard nobody say that.
Yeah, yeah. It's an amazing revelation when you get that.
Right.
Absolutely, it is.
Yeah.
Is it LaGrange?
It says LaGrand, like G R A N D E.
Okay.
LeGrand.
LeGrand.
I think it's LaGrand.
Yeah, I got
LeGrand. Amen. Well,
I would like to meet you.
We are out of time. Time goes by fast. Great morning. Thank you all for coming on. 10-second final words.
Well, maybe next time we can talk about Ruth. We didn't say too much about Ruth.
No, she lost her husband. We
That's
got that
our
far.
Launching pad.
Yeah, we set it up. She lost her husband and her sons.
All right.
Then we just took what the Holy Spirit laid in front of us and we ran with it.
Well, I know I'm encouraged this morning.
Amen.
Well, we do love you guys and we bless you all. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central Time. Go ahead and put it on your calendar, October the 25th.
Yes.
Chili Cook-Off this weekend is our regional tournament, and then Friday, Saturday night, Jeff Arrington will be at Kingdom Mission Church as well as Sunday morning.
And today, October 14th, is Charlie Kirk Memorial.
6 o'clock in Litchfield if you want to go there.
Yep.
We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on the Box 2 Radio Network.